with the unqualified appeal. We want to get to a point where it is a clean audit. What we have done to date is that we took a decision at ESCO level that for the current year, there won't be any payment made from the commission without a tax clearance certificate. I can safely confirm that since April up until now, there's not been any payment that has been made in the current year without a tax clearance certificate. What I've done as the CFO, I've consulted all our legal counsel to engage with them and also show them the importance of them complying with tax legislation. And I'm happy to say most of them they understand and they are willing to comply. You will also see that our irregular expenditure, last year it was on 30 million. Since we intervened, it has moved to 6 million, which shows that in the last 3 months since we got involved in this, we have done quite a lot to really reduce it. And I am very confident that for the remainder of the year as well, we will definitely erase that. We have also engaged the services of internal audit that every 6 months they will come and review our procurement processes as well. Further to that is that ESCO monitors irregular fruitless expenditure on a monthly basis at ESCO meetings. And also as a finance person, we have our monthly meetings where I get a register of irregular expenditure. In short, we are saying that we are not happy with the unqualified opinion. We can do better, and we have already put measures in place that are already yielding results. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you.
Okay. I think Kanye will address the issue of capacity and so on.
Thanks, Commissioner. Good evening, Chair. Thank you. And members of the Portfolio Committee, thanks for the opportunity once again. So the last slide that the Commissioner referred to in the presentation spoke about or referred to three strategic goals which the Commission has developed going forward. This is really the outcome of a strategic planning process which we've been embarking on in the past 3 to 4 months as an organization to develop a strategy for 2015 to 2020. It's an ongoing process which we are in liaison with CDD with. But goal three there, which refers to a high-performing agency, really speaks to the issues of capacity which the Honourable Chair raised questions about, particularly on human resources. So one of the sub-processes that will emerge from the strategic planning or the strategy is the review of the organizational structure. This is currently underway, where we are looking at the number of posts that are required by the Commission and the type of posts or jobs that are required by the Commission. So it also entails a skills audit and benchmarking of salaries. So this is a process that's currently underway, and I think it's from that basis from which we'll be able to recruit appropriately to respond to the strategy which we've developed. So, you know, through this process, the aim is to ensure that the organization is fully and optimally capacitated to be able to do its work effectively and optimally. A part of the strategic processes, just to elaborate a little further, is not only just around org review, org structure review, but also looking at the culture within the organization. And I think this touches on the question that was raised earlier, I think, by was it Mr. Masindi or Mr. Coleman? Yeah. Essentially, just around the turnover rate. Murray. Okay. The honorable member. A question that was raised earlier by the honorable member on staff turnover rate in the institution. So, I mean, it is a cause of concern amongst us as senior management. Even many of us within senior management are new within the institution, including the commissioner, and it is one of the big focus areas as we look forward to the next 5 years is really to rebuild the organization from within, from the roots upward. I mean, I think there's an acknowledgement of the good work that we've done up to this point in the past 15 years. And to ensure sustainability around those issues, we need to ensure that our human resources or our human capital are well invested in. And so the starting point for that is this org culture review, which we are embarking on, and really just inculcating different practices, different behaviors within the institution, and setting a different tone or vision for the way in which we work. So that is ongoing. There's a lot of conversations which we are having with staff at multiple levels on an ongoing basis. Concurrently, HR is also embarking on a plan to review the performance management system to ensure that we recruit and we're able to retain talent effectively. So there's a lot of investment going into that, and you'll see even in the budget that will be presented later, the figures that speak to the human capital development that the Commission will be pursuing in the coming 5 years.
Honourable members, thanks for the opportunity. I'll address, I think, three questions. The first one relates to measures, just to clarify the statistics. What do we mean by measures notified and measures finalized? Yes. You have notified, which is 320. Yeah, and finalized, which is 329. Right. So what happened is the cases. So what happened? So cases would overlap in a financial year. So what gets notified does not always match. With what we finalize. So we try to report both on what's notified and what we finalized in that financial year. And what we finalized includes cases that we have investigated and those that were withdrawn. So we do record in this financial year. It was just 4 cases withdrawn out of the 329.
Can I make a suggestion on that? Can't you perhaps work with the quota, for instance, indicate to us that in the beginning of the financial year, the first quarter, second quarter, and so forth, so that in future we are able to know as to how many, for instance, in terms of cases that were recorded and cases that were attended to, finalized, and those that fell off the process. You know, so that you can have an idea as to how busy are you and what is it that you are able to deal with and what is it that is falling within, falling off the system, and what would be the reasons for that, so that we have a clear picture of what's happening.
I certainly, Chair and Honourable Members, I think that is doable, that report, you know, we can adjust our report, the annual report next year. There's a question on the cement cartel. I think we have reported, you know, the numbers based on a study, an impact study we have performed that between, at least our study covered the period between 2010 and 2013, where we estimated savings to consumers of up to 5 billion. What the Honourable Member has asked was about the fines, which companies were fined and which companies were not fined, and so forth. What we did in that case, we fined, there were settlements. So there were 4 companies implicated in the cement cartels in South Africa: Lafarge, Africam, PPC, and NPC. PPC was a leniency applicant. So it received leniency, no penalty. Lafarge settled with the Competition Commission for 149 million. AfriSam settled for 125 million, bringing, I think, the fine to a total of 174 million. NPC has decided to defend its case, and I think that case is before the tribunal. The last question, perhaps, that I can deal with, and the chairperson asked about the construction. Sure, the chairperson was informed about this matter as it was being conceived. This matter has been quite successful as this one. I think you asked whether did we see any success arising from the fast track process. Our own assessment shows that the fast track itself has been quite successful. We have been able to settle a lot of contraventions. I think we have those statistics there. And the fines in total, I think they amounted to about the 1.5 billion. I think they keep increasing. What we have found is the offense that, because there are many contracts, there are those contracts where then some firms contest their involvement. So that requires at least further investigation from ourselves, which I think is what we call phase two. So it's very few firms that we are investigating. But in total, in the sort of on the whole, I think we have broken and I think successfully dismantled the cartel that was there. So this phase two process is likely to continue. There will be a lot of litigation going on. I think there are referrals in the pipeline against major construction companies on specific contracts where they contest their involvement.
Yeah, but the question was also in relation to the bidding processes.
Yes. The commissioner, I can try to deal with that issue. But this is an issue that I think there's still a lot of engagement, I think, even at a government level. So there are issues. There are still issues at that level, I think.
Okay. We can do with that, but we'll need the briefing around the progress in that regard. Otherwise, we can live with that. If it's something not to be disclosed, it's fine, we understand. But we will, in the very recent near future, we'll need updates.
Thank you, Chair. Not that it's that sensitive. I think it's just not, we haven't reached all the stages. I can even mention that I know that the EDD minister, as well as the Minister for Public Works, are engaged with the firm that provides services to government, because there is a sensitive issue here about, you know, we've been advocating that people who have been found guilty of transgressing these laws on competitive bidding, they must not get state contracts. Now, when you have a situation where your top six firms, who are the only ones with capacity to undertake this expanded public works program, you have a problem disbarring them. And you do have sort of second tier firms who are saying, no, you must disbar them because we can do the work. So there is a policy, there is a big policy question there, which the ministers and the CIDB, together with ourselves, have to try and resolve. And that should also pave the way on how this contracting gets done in future. But big procurement is certainly a sort of, it presents some unique problems because the suppliers are few. If I may, then very quickly, Mr. Mare, I will not touch on your question on health care in the interest of time, but also because the health inquiry is dealing with those matters, if you don't mind. The copper cables, the cables in general, we do have some concerns on cables. From our side, we have a case we are prosecuting on, again, it's a bid rigging thing where Eskom would issue a tender for cables and the big cable suppliers would get together to collude over those tenders. But there is a bigger question about the theft of copper cables and exports, which is really a sort of issue of ethics and regulation of the sector. So I'm not particularly engaged with those matters, but I know that this is a huge concern. On the HR issues, I think most of these have been covered. I think that it's fair to say, and I'm not sensitive about anything. I mean, I've been part of the organization for a long time before I left, and then I came back. Part of the issues at the commission has never had problems with the work, and everybody has enjoyed the work. Part of the problem were really interpersonal relations, especially with how management related with staff. And this is the stuff, the issues that Kanye was raising, that we know that we have to improve on that. I mean, we're not paying very well. The law firms, we can't compete with them. Even some of the private economic consultancy firms, they recruit our people. But where we can compete better is by providing people a good working environment. There are people who value that. So we know that our cases are very exciting. People are really interested in the work that we do because it makes a difference. We will lose some because there are people who do want higher salaries. But if we make our working conditions unbearable, then we are going to lose all of them because then the money is, we can't compete with the private sector, but we are also not a good employer. So we want to address all of those things. And I say all the time, we're not perfect, but there is willingness on our side. Hence, all of this emphasis on dealing with issues of culture within the organization. How do people work? How do they relate to one another? That's really the responsibility of management, and that's the reason why I went back to the commission to address some of these issues. The turnover is still very high, but already on the numbers that we are getting for this financial year, we've been able to reduce that, really to less than half of what it is. So I'm not really concerned about that. The figures you see now are just historical. But we've got to address the issues that Kanye was talking about to also, even if we can't compete with the private sector, but at least we have to keep, we must not be too far to a point where people don't think we are professional. The issue of disability is a challenge. I think we have only one employee with a condition of a disability. We've just made a second, I've just signed an offer actually literally a week ago of a second person. This is again work in progress that we need to focus on. I think we're not far off though from yeah. I'm not sure about your four, but yeah, we're not far. I think the CFO has really addressed all the issues about audit findings, but maybe a point has been made before, I can repeat it, that we've really had problems with advocates. You know, advocates don't keep their books very well. Some of them, it's not, I don't even think it's an ethical issue. These are individual practitioners. So some of them, we are also supporting them. We say, we can link you up to SAR, you can get your books in order, because you can't do work with the state without having your taxes in order. And I think we're seeing progress on that. But those who are not paying taxes, we just can't do business with. The issue of the fish market and SMMEs is really a deep question, because this question we have met with the minister responsible for DAF 2 weeks ago. Mava was at that meeting. And one of the things we are saying is the transformation of this industry in terms of both SMMEs, but also some historically black firms getting into certain niche markets like squid and so on, is an issue that partly has to be addressed through licensing. And I can say that I think everybody acknowledges that the management of the licensing side has not been really always helpful. And I know that the minister is working very hard to address that. There are obviously a lot of the impact of the decision was made on SMM. Primarily, this is, was meant to protect consumers who buy pilchard fish cans, because we realize that actually this is a product that is used largely by poor people as a source of protein. So it's still relatively affordable, but if you have a monopoly, that could be out of reach for a lot of our people. But these firms who are also canning the fish, they don't have enough quota. So they also rely on their other boat owners, other people with licenses to supply them. If you have a monopoly there, then those people will also again be able to dictate terms and the prices at which that fish is applied to them. So it's got an effect on the people who are fishing as well and boat owners. So it was very important that you keep the structure of the market. It's still concentrated, but it would have been worse because it would have moved from really two to one big processor there. We've just done a case on beer. We were here in Cape Town about a month ago. We were arguing our appeal against SAB on distribution. In beer, if you don't have distribution, you are out. And this is what SAB has mastered. We've been reluctant to take this case because we were thinking, is this really a priority? But in reality, it addresses exactly these issues of SMMEs. If people are not able to get into the distribution network, it might be a foreign firm, but it's a good example. Namibian Breweries has tried to enter our market many times. It's been struggling because it can't get a distribution network. It's not only competition tactics used, it's bullying tactics, it's all sorts of things. All kinds of incentives to taverns and things like that. So we're doing a lot of work to open that up, and it is an uphill battle because what SAB has done now, they're saying, well, we are empowering taverns, we're helping them to get licensing, we're upgrading them. In fact, now, I think they also have a scheme to give them some shares into SAB. So you can see that this is clearly targeted also at policymakers to say, don't touch us, we are good for PEE, we are, you know, just let this structure persist. So that's why I was saying partnerships are also quite important in these issues, because you can see both in fish and in beer, the solutions don't just lie with us. We have to continue working with the department, with the liquor authorities. We have to continue working with the fishing authority to just share ideas about how we open up the market. But I agree there are huge opportunities for SMMEs on beer production. I mean, if you've been to these other countries, beer is local. It's a local thing that people can brew and drink from town to town, from region to region. But we don't have that case here. We just have a big sort of oligopoly. Agro-processing problems. We haven't done enough here. We have what we've done. Just want to you to understand what's been our thinking historically. We know that agricultural markets are a problem because this is where you had a lot of control, marketing boards, and so on. And we pick up these problems. We can't follow all of them up. I mean, sometimes you go address a conference and you just pick up that, you know, people who are selling pork and their association and they might be doing things. But we've prioritized. So we really have looked at poultry. We're doing a lot of work, not just prosecution, but research as well on chicken, eggs, because, again, these are products that are critical for poorer consumers. And now we started research on red meat, so we might look at beef. So we're kind of moving up the value chain. Again, this is linked to what the chair has asked about capacity, because obviously, I mean, you also can't take all the cases and then they bottleneck when they are inside, because you just can't process them, because then they're just going to take longer and they are never going to be resolved. In fact, you can't resolve any of them because you're just moving around. But agricultural markets are a huge problem. Partnerships, again, are relevant because if you look at fresh produce, a lot of it is sold by true markets that are owned by municipalities. But the markets have allowed agents to determine who sells at the fresh produce market. So if you have a lot of farmers, especially emerging farmers, who have fresh produce, they can't get in the Joburg market, they can't get into the Tshwane market, because they need to go through these agents who have been there for a long time, who have established relationships with established farmers. So, you know, we need to get talking to tell these people that in order for these markets to work, to give other people opportunities, you've got to open up, see how your system of agents actually frustrates people who want to get into the market, because the agents are gatekeepers. That's also part of the historical legacy. So part of it is to educate people that you can't just continue working in the same way that you've been working if there must be change. I think that just one last thing that was mentioned by the chair partly addressed it. This issue of capacity, I think Kanye said we are working on proposals now, following our stress planning to deal with organizational structure, which we will work with the department on, and hopefully we can resolve. I think we have co-ops support. This is a matter that doesn't fall directly within us in terms of the financial support itself, but there are a lot of things that we are doing, for example, with the IDC on this agro-processing fund, the report that EDD was giving. Specifically, we asked that this must be targeted into co-ops and SMMEs. So I hope that part of the report will show the entry and support that that the fund is able to provide to COP. Thank you, Chair.
I take it that all questions were answered.
Yeah.
Okay. One area I forgot to ask about is the monitoring of all conditions, all conditionalities and remedial. Are we able to follow up? Are we able to say, because remember, we still have to get information related to both from yourselves and the EDD, IDC, related to the bird cartel issue, related to Walmart, Massmart. I'm not sure where did the milk cartel also end up. I'm not too sure. I remember there was a CAC case around that, whether that was concluded or not concluded. But also on updates, I think we'll be calling you to give us updates on the recent investigation so that we are able to be as part. And I don't know how can we make it that we get briefed and informed about the new investigation, so that, you know, we're not all always surprised by what we see in the media. We see in the media with other people for the first time. And sometimes, you know, investigations are dealt with, done with, and then without even us knowing, finalized, and we just get them at the tail end, which is sometimes not okay for us. I know we're supposed to be following these things using your website. You do have a very good, workable, and quite informative website. And I know that each time you get there, then you can be able to get exactly what you see the movie. Maybe that's another way of members informing ourselves, if we can visit from time to time the website. And maybe our communication person, I'm not sure who is that, because last time it was Temba. Yeah, maybe if we talk to Temba, because I know that he was assigned at some stage to our team. He's only available, he only avails himself during oversight visits, and it's not good. We need active communications here. So maybe we need to correct that from our side. I think it's our own the challenge. But just the courtesy, what alert from your side, Commissioner. It would assist us a lot, so that even if we overlook certain things, we are able then to come back and then, or just snip it, even if you're not giving us, so sometimes we can get that but not understand the whole objective of the whole investigation. But if you give us just a note to say, this is what we are busy with, these are the objectives. Even if you don't give us the history, fine, we'll find some of the information on the website about the type of companies, what are they doing, and so forth. That will help. But otherwise, let me use this opportunity to thank you very much for the briefing and the information shared. We can only wish you well, because we know it's not long that you've started. There's a lot that we still need to do within the commission. Majority of you, I think, you are new, actually. Yeah, but if you can increase on women representation, especially when you come here, it will help a lot. We're trying to transform, yes, in all aspects. You must see who you leave out of this gentleman. And you become as representative as possible. Yeah. So, otherwise, thank you very much to you also, members, for your attendance and your participation. Without that, I don't think this gentleman and the lady would really have gained, you know, more insight into some of the issues that we want to know about, and also understanding their work even much better by responding to us. So that those responses, they are making them even sharper, because they make them to understand their work even much more better. As we ask questions, we are helping them to do better, their job better. Thank you very much, and the meeting stands adjourned.
Thank you.